Praise God. Y'all are hired. Just make him stay here. And Liz, you're just always holding out on us. You're just always holding out. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do with you. I know. We got to do something. You're a blessing. You're a blessing. Well, praise God, I do have a word I want to share with you tonight, so get your Bibles out. Go to the book of Isaiah chapter 9. I pray that y'all just have all kinds of wild and crazy testimonies to tell me about your Christmas. Good. I'm really messed up on my days because it seems like Christmas should be tomorrow. And it's kind of like, well, wait a minute, tomorrow's Christmas Eve. I've been, you know, oh, well, I'll get it straight. So I have something here that I was reading this. I actually was dreaming about it last night. Kept hearing this scripture going over and over, and I was just looking at it this morning, and there's just so much good stuff right here about the birth of Christ. And so let's start reading in verse, verse 1. It says, "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is in distress, as when he first lightly esteemed. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterwards more heavily oppressed her. For by the way of the sea and beyond the Jordan and Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." You know, there's nothing like being in a place of worry or a place of fretting, and then all of a sudden the Lord gives you a word that shows you a way out. You know, that's what it really happens is when the darkness that comes upon us, you know, can be anything. But usually it's a discouragement, it's despair, it's the enemy has made something seem bigger than it is. You know how that always happens? It's always bigger than it really is. And he says that when the light shone, when the light came, all darkness dispelled, right? And so he goes on here. And Bob, turn me a little down or a little something. I got an echo coming back to me, unless it's just my ears. It says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined." Okay? Dwelt in the land, that's not a good place to live. In the land of the shadow of death. Right? I do not want to be in the land of the shadow. The shadow that's overshadowing me is the shadow of death. I want to be under the shadow of the wing of the Almighty, right? Amen. It says in verse 3, "And you have multiplied the nations and increased its joy. And they rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoicing when they divided the spoil." Now, I looked it up and read that in some different translations. But you know, it's a good time. As a young man, I was growing up, and we were not big farmers, but every now and then we would have a crop that we didn't graze out in cattle, and we would, you know, want to harvest it. And I can remember years when it was like, man, the wheat was flowing. I mean, the combines couldn't hardly go. We were, you know, doing everything. The bins were overfilled. There was just harvest, you know, and it was a good time. Everybody was happy, right? Well, he says, he's saying here, in one of the translations it read, it says, "And they were rejoicing when they were looking at how great the harvest was." All right? It says, "You have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal, from the noisy battle, and the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel for fire. Now, all of this from verse 1 to verse 5 is prophetic about what happens when Jesus shows up. All right? Let me see if I can pull this other translation up I was reading here. I didn't think about it till now, but we got super electronics here, if I can work it. Y'all ever notice that every time you're messing with your phone or you're trying to do anything with a computer, that it always wants to do something else rather than what you want it to do? I want somebody to develop a computer that only does what I tell it to do. Wow, that would be an amazing thing. Makes me mad. Time I turn around. It was in an Amplified translation here. Well, if I just would get out of Proverbs 12 and get over to Isaiah here. I didn't think that looked right. I've got the large print edition here. It says in verse 2, the people walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of intense darkness and the shadow of death upon them as the light shined. You, O Lord, have multiplied the nation and increase their joy. They rejoice before you like the joy in harvest, as men rejoicing when they divide the spoil for battle. The yoke of Israel's burden and the staff or rod for goading their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, you have broken in the day. Listen to that. I don't exactly know what a rod of goading is, but I think it's the same as a stick you poke them with. It's talking about the yoke, but it's also talking about what you poke it with or whack it with to make it work to go, right? I don't like that. I don't want to be poked with a stick. I don't want to whack. It's like, I've told y'all this, every morning I go feed the sheep, my sheep some corn, and the ram, in these last few mornings, he's already up on his back 2 feet jumping and pitching when I'm coming down there because he just wants to challenge me. It's all it's about. So I have a series of sticks lined up there at the gate that I have to open up. And I get the stick, and he kind of, you know, knows that I'll hit him with the stick, and so he keeps his distance. But man, these last few mornings, he is like taking it to the limit. And so I just looked at him this morning and said, you know, this in the morning you're going to get a surprise because I'm going to get a longer stick. Right now you know exactly how long my reach is, and you stay just an inch from that. I'm going to get a 6-inch longer stick in the morning, and we're going to settle this little dispute, okay? So I don't want the same thing to happen to me, right? I don't want to live under an oppressor who's goading me with a stick and got a yoke on my neck and is poking me to pull the load. Now just listen to this. Isaiah's prophesying, and he's saying this is what the world was or is prior to Jesus showing up. That man lived under the yoke of the enemy. He lived under the burden of Satan. He lived under the oppression of the devil. He lived under the goading and the poking and the prodding of what the enemy could say and what the enemy could make you think and what the enemy could conjure up for you. And he poked you and goaded you, and that was all prior. He says, that's the way it is. Then he goes to verse 6. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't finish this other part. It says in the Amplified, for every trampling warrior's war boots and all his armor and battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood shall be burned for the fuel for the fire. In other words, it's a hard thing to live in war. To live in constant war. Constant battle. It's a hard thing. And he's saying, there's something in an event going to happen. And when this event happens, he's going to break off the yoke. He's going to get rid of the goading stick. He's going to get rid of the oppressor. And you're not going to have to live in war. Not going to have to live in war. All that is amazing. Then he tells us what's going to happen. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. Now, you know, I'm not the planner of bringing in the kingdom of God. Because if I would have been the planner of bringing in the kingdom of God, first thing I'd unloosed was the angels. I'd have sent legions of 12-foot-tall angels with giant swords and come to earth and appeared to everyone and said, look, buddy, you're going to toe the line and that's the end of the story. You're going to worship God. You know, you're going to do it right now or not. But God, in his infinite wisdom and God being who he is so unconcerned about the plots of man or the plots of the devil. This whole message tonight is to show you how great God is and how small the devil is. He says, look, I'm gonna defeat you with the most helpless thing that could come on earth, a child. A baby, man, a baby is so helpless. We humans, we're so frail. We think we're tough and we think we could just do anything, but I mean, man, just a cat's tougher than we are. Right? I mean, we don't have thick skin. We got no nothing. We're as human beings, we're the weakest of the animal kingdom except for our brains. Right? Which the enemy uses against us at all times. But he says here, I'm gonna bring to earth the simplest, weakest child that can't even have a room, is going to be born in a feed trough just because it's going to be prophetic that he's going to be the bread for the life of the world, the food for the life of the world. It's going to be born right here with a bunch of animals. You know what bacteria was probably in the manger? Right? I mean, God says, I'm not even concerned with that. I'm not even in the slightest bit, even shaking that there wasn't a room for Jesus. I've always thought about how horrible that night would have been had Laura and I be having to have a baby that night. I would have said all kinds of horrible things to the innkeeper. I would have been going and telling somebody else, well, look, my wife's having a baby. You don't need, you know, you can sleep in a manger. I mean, this is some serious stuff. We got to do something, folks. We got to make something happen. I would have been trying to make something happen to do it the way that I thought was best when God says, well, what are you worried about? Wouldn't that be nice to live your life like that? That you know that this God that is so huge that he would bring the Savior, the thing that's going to defeat all the oppression, all the yoke, all the burdens, all of every nasty thing the devil could come up with in life, he was going to defeat his enemy with a child. That blows my mind. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Now, he's not talking about the federal government. You know, need to remind yourself of that every now and then. He's not talking about the federal government. He's talking about the government of the kingdom of God. We live in a bigger kingdom than the United States of America. We live under the rule and the lordship of a larger kingdom. And the only thing that keeps us from walking in the kingdom authority is our faith. Mm-hmm. We literally let, I mean, just none of us would do this. Say, look, okay, would you, today you have a choice. You can live in the palace over here with the king, or you can go out and put this yoke on and plow a field. Nobody would do that. But don't we do that? Don't we let the devil talk us into wrong thinking, and then we go out there and we say, well, you know, really, I know they probably don't want me in the kingdom, you know, and I hadn't been doing right, and this hasn't been good, so maybe this yoke is mine, and it does fit. And then we start pulling the plow rather than going over to the palace because we don't think we deserve it. We literally don't think that it could be that way because it's not that way in the world. It's not that way in the world. The world says you got to earn it before you have a right to be there. And so he says a child's born and the government of the kingdom of God is going to be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called. Now just think about this. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now, folks, I want to tell y'all something. If you believe that the Bible's true, and you believe that, you know, Isaiah wasn't just smoking peyote and came up with a good chapter here, you believe that he was speaking prophetically by the Spirit of God and announced this birth of Christ, then you've got to look at this and say, no, wait a minute. This is my God, and this is his name, Wonderful Counselor. When you look up the word wonderful in the Hebrew, you know what it means? Oh, it means wonderful. And you know, when you look up counselor, what it means is a constant guide. A wonderful, constant guide. Isn't that amazing? A wonderful, constant guide. Didn't say he fluctuates. It's a constant guide to show you how wonderful he is. Mighty God. A good word to me in the Bible is everlasting. It never runs out. There is no licking it to the chocolate center and it ran out. It's everlasting. Everlasting life with an everlasting Father. And he's the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. There's no, listen, tonight, there's no trouble in the kingdom of God. The thing that we have a hard time understanding and a hard time fathoming is that we look at things in a timeline. And we look at things as how we have deemed success. And when we put that all in together, it causes us to panic. But when you look at things from God's perspective, that he's everlasting, there's no end to it. Sometimes you should just meditate on the mere fact that you will never die. You should just think about that. I look at my life and I start thinking just of, at my age, I'm only 54, but I think of my age and then I start looking at what I've seen in my life. And I start putting things, you know, like Jennifer playing for us and she was in my youth group and I was like, wow, you know, I thought I was pretty old then and my God. You know, and then I start to try to put things into perspective and look at life. Our life on this earth is relatively short, especially when you compare it to eternity. What's 100 years compared to Forever. How long is forever? You can't put an end on it. Well, forever stopped right here. There's no end to it. Right? So when we compare 100 years to the forever, you can't even measure it because you can't see the end of forever. I mean, that's mind just makes my head just, when I sit around and think about it like that. And I'm glad to know, like Miss Audrey that went to heaven the other night, that when she stepped over that line, that she got to lay eyes on wonderful. That things made sense all of a sudden. You know what I'm saying? The things that we've looked into the Bible and tried to understand from our minds, and we couldn't do it. And then all of a sudden, when you're there, it makes sense. I've done that so many times in life that, and just simple things. You know, somebody's trying to tell me how something works, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't see how that's going to work. And then when I see it, I'm like, oh, now I can kind of understand what you're talking about. That's just so simple compared to looking into the Word and trying to understand the Word and then stepping into eternity, and you're in eternity. It's going to make sense. Right now, it doesn't. There, it does. There, and I just have to think that every time I've read the Scriptures when it says, and He wipes away our tears, that it could only be for the lack of thinking, that what we thought. You know, why would you have any tears in heaven?
My mansion's not big enough. It's not like I liked it, Lord. It's the wrong color. I don't think that's the right color of tile, but I guess I can live with it. But for eternity?
Do you reckon that they repaint in your mansions in heaven? I hope not. I mean, there's a switch you can just flip and it just turns a different color or something. You know? Instant remodeling, flip the switch. Instant furniture rearranging. I'm thinking about really trying to get in trouble with my wife. This is completely off the subject. I'll have to get me back on in a minute. But she always does this to me. Whenever I'm gone for a while and when I get home, she's arranged the furniture somehow, you know. And I thought about, you know, I am going to go arrange the furniture. I am just going to move it around. I'll put the couch over here. If I could move her big old piano, I'd move it somewhere else and just change it. As soon as she walks in the house, she's like, I already have moved the lamp. She has this lamp that sits right beside my chair, and I hate the thing. And so the first thing I did, I said, well, this is my house now. I went and got that lamp, took that thing over there and set that thing on the floor and said, Sager can stay there. Forgive me, Lord. But I'd love to see the look on her face when she walks in that. I've got it all changed around. It'd be so cool. Oh, God. Anyway, back to the Word. It just blows our mind, all right? And I just want to, and the whole message and what the Lord was just saying to me over and over and over when I was reading this is that if I could bring a child into this world to solve all the world's problems, that's how much I have got it under control. That's how unworried I am about the situation you're dealing with. I'm that much bigger than that situation. And that, to me, folks, makes a pretty special Christmas, to think that Jesus being born in a manger and everybody looking at that little nativity scene, and that was God's answer to solve the problems of the world. He says, I'm just going to take care of it right here. Just have a baby born. Let's defeat the devil. Look, I came up with a plan last night. Let's have the baby born. And then all that the enemy could do, to try to kill him, to try to do everything he could, couldn't do it. Right? Let me read the last of this. The last half of 7. It says, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, establish it with judgment and justice, and from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal. The zeal of the Lord. How much zeal do you think God's got? Think about that. How much zeal do you think God's got? And he says, the zeal of the Lord is going to perform this. So listen to me. Whatever would arise in 2016, whatever would arise in your life, I just want you to look back at Isaiah 9 and 6 and just say, man, a child was born. A child was born to deliver me, to break off the yoke of oppression, to break off the oppressor, to get me out of the valley of the shadow of death, to get the stick out of the devil's hand from poking me. And I shouldn't be irritated. I should just be walking in the kingdom of my God. Amen? Amen. So that's what Christmas is all about. Praise God. So you can share that with everybody tomorrow or Friday.